Okay, so again, welcome to all the fabulous new people that are joining us from the preteen class. We're excited you're here. Those of you that have moved to new schools because you graduated and decided to get older, hey, we want to finish our t-shirt wall back there. So if you went to a new school, we want your t-shirt so we can put it up there. Okay, so I'm just warning you, like, there's a bunch of activities about to come up with football and all that kind of stuff, so bring me a t-shirt. Okay? Good. All right. So, what are you doing? Are you taking notes? I am on drugs for sure. Okay, I can't believe Ivy's actually taking notes. Hey, y'all let me pretend for just a minute, okay? I feel better about myself when y'all take notes. So, third week of a series on discipleship, okay? We talked about D groups are coming. We want to know what we're doing in them, what this process is, why this matters. So here we go. Today, we're talking about this wonderful thing that we call prayer. All right? So, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in the church system, if you will. I knew about prayer. Sitting there early, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, amen. Okay, simple, easy. I knew, why are you laughing at me, Mariah? I'm really not that funny. Hey, there is nothing wrong with that, okay? We need to thank God for the food. But, like I said, that was where my limited knowledge was. At some point, I began to discover that prayer in itself is this meaningful conversation with the creator of the universe. Okay? Sometimes I understand that y'all get the ability to talk to me and you're in awe of that because I'm such a magnificent person that y'all are just amazed by. Okay? But I'm nothing compared to God. Okay? Are you amen in the fact that I'm amazing or nothing compared to God? Okay, we'll go with it then. Y'all are being mean to me today. I don't know what's going on. So, here's the thing. Prayer is about a person. Okay? It's about having a conversation with God. Okay? So, think about this. Mariah, how much do you talk to your best friend? Okay, let me back up. How much do you and Rai talk? Okay, there we go. All better. So, who's next? Let's see. Who's going to be my new victim? Roxy, my new victim. How much do you talk to Christian? Hey! Why? Because you don't know him. Exactly. So what if I told you that your prayer life was an indication of your spiritual relationship with God? Yeah. But if your prayer life is an indication of your relationship with God, would it look more like Rai's? Or more like Roxy and Christians? You don't have to answer that out loud. We don't want to embarrass all of you, okay? We totally understand. So, today we're going to look at a time that Jesus talks about prayer, okay? That's where we're going. Jesus and God, His Father, hopefully they've got a decent relationship, right? Maybe? I'm either throwing candy or rocks. I haven't figured out which one I'm going to throw in a minute. Go to Matthew 6. Oh, I wonder if there's one in the room that you can use. Here's a trick. See, I put the Bibles in the seat. Six. I put the Bibles in the seat. If you would take the Bible out of the seat when you go to put your bum in it, and put it on the floor, you'd have it right there when you needed it. So, Matthew 6. So, hang on real quick because I forgot something for all the wonderful new people that here aren't all the time. Somebody tell them why we say word. Okay, sorry, I didn't hear any of that. Why? So you don't start before a wedding? No. Why do we say word? Oh, because it's the word of God. Okay, this is how this works. Okay, you get to look at it, see it, and read it, and know that I'm not making it up. All right? So here we go. Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. Okay? When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they'll ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Okay. So, verse 7, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Okay, so the first part of this, Matthew 6, 5, it says, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't put on a performance and pretend to be someone you're not. Okay, think about your favorite movie star. Okay, that dreamy guy, Brad Pitt or Ryan Gosling or whoever the heck it is nowadays, or that girl, you know, the Emma Watson or whoever the thing is. When they star in a movie, they're playing a role of somebody they're not. They're acting. Are we doing the same thing when we're at church? Excuse me. Okay. That's what these guys were doing. They looked like they were close to God because of the way they were acting. But in reality, they were far, far away. So when it comes to your prayer life, is the only time you pray when you're here at church? Are you acting the part of a hypocrite here in front of all of us? Or is it an extension of what goes on at home? Think about it. Okay? So, he's calling them. Tell them, don't be a hypocrite. Isn't that what they call Christians all the time? Yeah, because we say one thing and do another, right? And we sit there and tell them all, we're not hypocrites. Hold on. Do we pray at church? Do we pray at home? So we are hypocrites. Hypocrites. So, there we go. All right, so the people that Jesus were talking to were hypocrites. They put on a performance of their religion, but that's not who they were. Okay. They were more worried about their pride than worshiping God Himself. See? They enjoyed the aspirations and the reactions of the people a lot more than they enjoyed pleasing God. So is your prayer life a performance? Is it something that you're looking for the accolades, the respect, the honor of people, or are you really just communicating with the Father? All right, down to verse 6. When you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Make praying privately a priority. Okay, this is realistically how the majority of our prayer life should be done. In a closet, in a bedroom, somewhere where it's just you and God in an intimate relationship. Okay? Think about this. If you want to get closer to God, you've got to make a habit of closing yourself off from the rest of the world. That means putting your cell phone down and the tablet and the TV remote and all the other stuff, shutting yourself off from the rest of the world and going to focus on God. Okay? I got one like this. See, if the only time I ever hung out with Emily was in public, what would our relationship be like? Yeah, it would suck. it would be an entire performance because we would essentially just be roommates at the house. So do we do the same thing with God? We only hang out with him. We only have a relationship when we're here on a Sunday or a Wednesday, or is it something that happens in the privacy behind a closed door of our own home, building a relationship with him personally? Or are we more worried about what the next thing to show up on our Snapchat story is going to be? So, why is prayer hard? If it was easy, we'd be doing it all the time. We're lazy. So is prayer hard? No? Oh, not me. This friend I know. So it's like the greatest Christian excuse ever. Aaron, what do you think about weed? I'm asking for a friend. Yes, I said weed. Like, never mind. Okay, so we would all say that prayer is totally easy. So if I turn around and said, hey guys, next Monday night, we're having prayer night here at the church. We're going to come up here. We're going to meet together as a church, and we're going to pray for an hour. You're all in, right? Y'all can sit down and pray for an hour? Thank you for being honest. I don't know what to pray about. So, why is it that we can sit there with, like, a friend and have a conversation for, like, 4 hours, but we can't pray for that long? You think it's boring? Why is it boring? Because you're talking to, like, nobody. You can't see God. See, tell me this is not the most infuriating thing in the world, to sit there with somebody and have a completely one-sided conversation. Wait, what'd you say? What'd you say? Now you'll know how I feel every single week when y'all sit there going. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That was just a really interesting side. No, but I get it. That's how it feels talking to God. You're like sitting there, you're just like doing this number, and you're like, you know, you could say something at any point. Just move the chair, make the Bible fall off, turn the air conditioning on, just something to like let me know you're paying attention. And okay. Yeah. I mean, we want it to be this big, huge, formal, like, oh, holy God. Y'all should really pay attention to Troy pray one time before worship. I'm telling you, Troy, I love you. By the way, just before I say this, I love Troy dearly. Sometimes the stuff that comes out of his mouth, I'm like, are you kidding me? Did you just say that? And I start thinking, I'm like, man, that's the exact same thing I say to my best friend. Troy and God, they're good. I mean, really, like I have done that before. He says something, I'm going, God is going to hit you with a lightning bolt, bro. And then I go back and like I'll be sitting there hanging out with somebody and I'll say the same thing. I'm like, okay, never mind. Aaron's problem, not Troy's. But yeah, why do we do that? Why do we want it to be this like big, huge, formal thing? Like, you know, it's like going to the principal's office. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. I didn't do it, ma'am. I'm so sorry, ma'am. Like, that's how we want to treat God. Why don't we just sit down and be like, yo, here's the deal, dude. Like, I don't know what you're doing with this girl at school, but if you don't fix this, I'm going to bust her head. Why don't we have that kind of conversation? I'm just saying, like, Here's your challenge for the week, okay? I've got a whole bunch more sermon, but here's your challenge for the week. Seriously, write this down. I want you to think this through. Go read Habakkuk. Habakkuk. It's the book in the book. It's a little book in the big book, okay? Open to page 3, table of contents, look up Habakkuk. Go read this. Let me tell you how this goes. Chapter 1, God, what the hell were you thinking? Chapter 2, God, I'm not kidding. You're stupid. Chapter 3, go read it on your own. Seriously, chapter 1, the whole thing. God, you're an idiot. You are so dumb. I cannot believe this is what you were thinking. You made this crap. Everybody's going to go look it up now. I've got a whole other message. I didn't say go look it up right now. They're dying to know. Ah, no. Seriously, he's seriously spending the whole time tripping out going, God, what are you thinking? Yeah, when we sit here and pray, we're going, God, I'm sorry. Okay. What? Bro, don't even go there. Straight up, KJV. So, let me ask you this question, and let's get back to this. You can go to Habakkuk when you get done. So, back to my previous example, Roxy. Right now, if you had to go have a conversation with Christian, how long would it last? I didn't ask all of y'all. I asked Roxy. Little person, little voice. That means y'all got to hush. How long? You don't know. Okay, what if I told you that for the next month, you have to have a conversation with Christian every single day? On the last day, how long would that conversation be? Not long? You don't think y'all would find something to talk about? I think so. I think you can come up with something because there would be a relationship that works there. So we sit here and we want to pray and we want to talk to God, and yet we don't do it, and then we get mad when we can't do it long enough. Okay, back to Matthew, away from Habakkuk. Back to Matthew, away from Habakkuk. I promise you it's in there. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm being recorded, so Gay can yell at me, Aaron, it doesn't say that in the book. No, really, it's in there, okay. Back to Matthew. So, I missed a spot. So, here's another one for you. Open it up and just start reading through the Psalms at one point. No, not right now. Literally, here's David. David, the man after God's own heart. I love David. He is me to the letter. Psalm 1, God, you are so incredible. Psalm 2, God, what are you thinking? Psalm 19, God, you're so incredible. Psalm 25, God, I'm such a piece of crap. I'm so stupid. Oh, my goodness. Psalm 27, God, you're the creator of everything, and I love you. Psalm 54, God, they're about to kill me. Everybody is trying to kill me. What did I do? Where are you? What are you thinking? Like, this is literally Psalms. These are prayers that David prays. 150 of them. He is literally like the most ADD bipolar nutcase in the Bible. On the real. So the next time you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know what to pray, do one of these, okay? Psalms 27. And just read it and see what comes. See if you're not surprised a little bit. All right, back to my non-ranting about stuff. Have we actually made prayer a priority? Like, so Rai Rai over here, for those of you who don't know who Rai Rai is, that's Mariah and Ryan. They're our latest couple of the week. Couple of the week, they're like our couple of the month. And so we're going to put big, pretty, like, hearts and stuff on our Instagram and make filters and whatever and embarrass them desperately. No. So, okay. Karis is going to be taller than me. I don't know what to do. Emily had to wear flip-flops at our wedding to not be taller than me. It is what it is, okay? I'm like, you can't wear heels. I'm not going to go like this when we kiss, okay? Not going to happen. So, here's the deal. Have you actually made praying a priority? See, they talk every day because she makes Ryan a priority. So, do we actually make God a priority? Or are we like, you know what, God, here's the deal. I'll get to you when I'm done with everybody else. All right. So you told him that. My question is, does it actually happen? Don't answer that. I'm just saying, is that how we actually play it out? Like, if we had to get up in the morning and actually step through our priorities throughout the day, like if you couldn't go to school, if you decided my priorities are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and school is number 5, if you couldn't go to school until you had taken care of the other 4, okay, where on that list would God actually be? Or would he be like 12? It's like, I'm going to go to school, and I'm going to have my friends, I'm going to check my Snapchat, and then I'm going to go out here, I'm going to do my makeup, and oh God, hey, I got about 4.5 minutes left before I go to bed. What's up? Because I think that's how we do it. All right, so 7 and 8. Back to Matthew 6. Here we go. How am I doing on time? Oh, okay. I'm doing all right. So when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. So I have a 3-year-old, for those of you who don't know. If you don't know, you should meet her. She's the cutest thing ever. She's in this phase now where she stands there and goes, Daddy, I want a color. I'm like, all right, Karis, give me just a second. Daddy, I want a color. 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 And I'm like, you are not getting a color any faster. Shut your mouth. So why do we somehow think that, like, doing that to God is going to make us, make him act any faster? All right, so when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again, like my 3-year-old. Okay? So don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So saying things over and over again is not going to get your relationship any closer to God. And God knows what you need, so just ask him for it anyways. Like, it's not going to hurt you. You know what my favorite prayer in the world to God is? Like, I love this one. Okay? I was at my house a couple weeks back. Troy shows up. We're working on his truck. I look over, and Emily's tire's flat. You know what I did that night? The girls went to bed. I went to go have my quiet time. I sat down. I looked at God, and I said this. God, and here's the deal. Those are your cars in the driveway. That's your flat tire. You fix that flat tire. I woke up that morning, called Discount Tire. Hey, what's going to go on? Da-da-da-da. 8 new tires that day. One that just showed up on the credit card. Dang it. No, but I'm just saying, like, I'm like, God, it's yours to deal with. And so a couple of things played out to where the money showed up for that to happen. God knows what we need. Why not tell him, like, it's so easy for us. Oh, it's just a flat tire. I'll go take care of it. No, that's God's car. He stewarded to us. We're supposed to be faithful to it. You take care of the car. No, Troy, don't pray for a big lift. That don't count. Okay? So here's a nice try. I know it's running through his head. 12 inches, bigger turn. No. Okay? So our prayer is meant to be rest and requests. It's supposed to be restful. Like, it should be that conversation you have at the end of the day that just lets you kind of detox from everything. You know, how many of y'all, like, have the worst day, and you normally do one of two things? Either you call your best friend, and you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe what she did to me, and he's such a butthead, and then we go off. Or you get home, and your mom's like, hey, sweetie, how you doing? And you're like, I'll kill you. Isn't that how it works? We do one of those two things, right? So what if instead we were like, Mom, I love you, not right now. Go to your room, get on your knees, and be like, God, here's the deal. I'm going to kill this girl at school if you don't change her attitude. For real, she looked at me, she bat them eyelashes, she winked her thing and twisted her finger the wrong way, and we gonna go to fighting. You need to fix this or fix me. Why don't we let our frustration out on God, who already knows what's going on and can actually do something? Like, what is your mommy gonna do about the kid at school that looked at you funny? Call the principal. So here's what I want to know. When you're 35 years old and the lady in Kohl's looked at you funny, are you going to call your mommy? Yep. Bro, we got some work to do. I'm just telling you, at some point, we've got to move past this. Why don't we go dump? Wait, what is it? I read this somewhere. Hang on. Cast all your cares on Jesus because he is faithful and cares about them. Why don't we dump our stuff on Jesus? You think he's too big for your mess? What does he say in Matthew 6? Hey, I clothed the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Don't you think I care about you? Take him your mess and see what he does with it. Like I'm telling you, he fixes problems better than your mommy ever could. You know how I know that? Because I've tried. I've been in some problems that some of y'all know that my mommy couldn't fix, and God found a way out of it. All right, back to where my notes are. I don't know where this is all coming from. So, prayer's not about resting all the time. It's also about requesting. So let me ask you this. If I go ask my dad for $100, is he going to give it to me? He might give me a dime. Troy says yes. Luckily for me, Troy actually knows my dad. Yeah, he'd give me $100. Okay? Karis doesn't ask me for money. She just takes it out of my wallet. So, that really does happen. You want me to prove it to you? Look, here we go. You see the money? She beats Emily to it now. Okay. But here's the thing. My dad would give me $100 because he knows that I'm asking because I need something. So he's going to make sure that I'm taken care of and that need is met. So why wouldn't our Heavenly Father do the same thing? I can't hear you. Little person, little voice. Big voice. All we need is him. Okay, I'm good with that picture, but like if you go stand out in a parking lot for the next couple months and just stand there and be like, all I need is God, you're going to die. No food, no water, no clothes, you're going to die. Like there's a reality, this picture of we have other needs and other things. He put us on this earth for other things. Okay, we're supposed to share the gospel. That's really hard to do. Like if you're the smelly kid, nobody's going to listen. Jesus loves you. Smell my pits. Yeah, that doesn't work. So it's okay to go ask him for things. Now, does that mean that you can ask God for 5 Ferraris and 2 brand new houses? No. Okay, let me rephrase. Yes, you can ask him. You ain't getting it, okay? Yes, I'm sure. Because what he says is if you begin to ask things, I'll give you everything that you need. Not what you want, what you need. And what gets funny is as we begin to read this book, our heart begins to line up with God's. And so the things that we ask him for that we need tend to be exactly what he wants to give us. Like, I'm not saying you got to live in a dump the rest of your life, okay? I'm not saying that at all. God wants to give you good things. But he wants to know that you're faithful with what you have. He's not going to give you $100, watch you go down, buy stupid stuff, and turn around and give you another $100. That ain't going to fly. See, I've shown my dad I can be responsible with it, and so he's like, okay, if Aaron's asking, he must need it. So, prayer is not about saying religious-sounding things out loud before a meal. It's a time to rest in your Father and request things you need from him. So, a guy wrote a book a while back. His name is Eugene Peterson. You're going to forget that? It's totally okay. I just figured I'd put it out there. He said, prayer is never the first word. It's always the second word. God had the first word. It can be scary. It can be hard. Okay, talking to somebody that you haven't had numerous conversations with, that's uncomfortable. Okay, if I stuck Roxy and Christian in a room together, they're both going to sit there and be like, okay, Christian may not. At some point, that relationship has got to be built. Okay, it's scary. It takes time. It takes a process. But if we never get around to starting, it's always going to stay that way. Like, open the book. Troy can tell you there's like 19,000 prayers in the Bible. Pick one. Of the 19,000, I bet you one of them lines up with about where you're at. Okay? Just saying. So, if prayer is always the second word, what's the first word? If prayer is the second word, what's the first word? Prayer, I'll say it again. Prayer is never the first word. It's always the second word. God has the first word. What's the first word? The cross. He started the conversation on the cross. He opened the door for us to be able to have that conversation on the cross. The first word is the gospel. It's really hard to have a conversation with somebody that you don't have a relationship with. It's really hard to have a conversation with somebody that you don't know. God said, hey, here's the cross because I want to know you. Everybody's heard the message before. They've heard the gospel before. Jesus died. He rose. He came again to have a relationship with us. He went through all that for that relationship. The least we could do is have a conversation with him. Nobody's asking you to sit down for like 8 hours and be like, okay, God, you died, so here's my 8 hours. Just ask him for a little bit of time. The question is, are you actually willing to do that, or are we just going to keep being hypocrites that play games at church? Like, I'm good. You can say playing games. It's not going to bother me because, see, there was a time in my life, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, where I sat there listening to some stupid old guy talk about prayer from a stupid pulpit, and I sat there going, I'm going to pray. I wanted nothing to do with God. I was going home doing my own thing. There's going to come a point where you decide you want to do it God's way. The easy way or the hard way. It's your call.